Turn to chapter 1 of the book of John. By today's standards, most people would call John the Baptist an eccentric.
Yes.
He's out there yelling in the wilderness. He's eating locusts and honey. He's wearing skins. He's probably kind of a haggard looking guy. But he's got a powerful message. And the Gospel of John, chapter 1, deals with his advent or his appearance on the stage. When we look at John the Baptist, there's three things that we need to kind of consider. And then we'll get into the message this morning. First of all, we need to understand John the Baptist, the man. He was foreordained to be the forerunner of Christ. He says here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and we've been studying prophecies over Christmas, and we can see that all these prophecies, there was this prophecy about John. And it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So he was an eccentric. You know why he was eccentric? Because he followed God. Because he sold out to God. His message, as we can see in the Gospels, is one single point. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, and in the other Gospel, it says, it's saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, get ready. Get ready. There's someone coming behind me whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to touch. He's going to be greater with me. Now, why was he called John the Baptist? Because he baptized people. People would come to him and repent of their sins, and he would baptize them in the Jordan River. And that was a symbol for the Jews at that time of repentance and being sold out to God. And so people were coming out. Not a lot of, there was crowds, but not the whole country. Because, see, the country was sitting in darkness. And so he says his message. And then when the religious leaders came, he says, who called you out here? Because he knew that they were there not to repent, but to give trouble. So we see the man, we see his message and his method. It's interesting that his daddy, Zacharias, was a priest. He was of the tribe of Levi. He was of the descent of Levi. And he was supposed to work in the temple. And that's how he knew that he was going to have a son by the name of John. But see, John didn't go where he should have gone by man's standards. We don't see John in the temple. We see him in the wilderness. We see him out in the world. We see him getting dirty with the world and preaching to the world. Folks, we come to church to worship God. But our method and our message goes out in the world. Because we need to draw people in. Christ says this. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. His method was not religious. His method was not orthodox. His method was not what people would consider normal for a descendant of Levi, for out of the priestly realm. But what he says is this, and you probably can't read that very well, but the title of my message just says, Behold the Lamb of God. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 26 through 37. So as we get into the scripture, John answered them saying, he says, I baptize with water. Because people come out and say, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? He says, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. You know God's here today. Do you know he's here? See, the world needs to understand that God is still sovereign. All the problems that we've been having recently, God is still sovereign. He's still here. He still knows. But the issue is are you looking for Him? He says, it is He who coming. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethrada, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is Him. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. He's the one you should follow. It says, this is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with church. You know what the purpose of the church is, folks? It's to make Christ manifest to the world. That's the purpose of every Christian, is to tell others about Christ. That is the commandment that Christ left before He ascended to heaven. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon Him. And I knew Him not, but He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, the same is He which baptized with the Holy Ghost. You know what we need to do as Christians? We need to do what God designed us to do. No matter how eccentric it looks, no matter how abnormal it looks, no matter if it takes you out of where you think you're supposed to be, we need to be doing what God tells us to do. Verse 34, and He says, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, oh, that was Peter and John, by the way, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. See, the first time he says it, he says this. He says it without an exclamation. But if you notice in this verse, behold, the Lamb of God, exclamation mark. We really need to get a grasp of this. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they what? Followed Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask for Thee to be with this time of message this morning, Lord, that Your truth would be spoken, that would change our lives. Father, help us, Lord, this morning to be obedient and to learn of You and to be more like You. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen. See, there are single moments in our lives that can change the direction of your life. We've seen it last year. Would you have ever thought that we would be doing some of the things that we're doing now? The thing, your life direction was changed based on a single event. You know, we make a, you go buy a house and your life changes. You have a kid and your life changes. These are single moments in time, but they have a lifelong impact. Here's a single moment in time that John the Baptist is out there, and he's been out there doing exactly what God tells him to, preaching the message that God gave him, and he sees Jesus. And he can't help but say, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. See, that's what he was told to preach. That's what he was looking for. Folks, this morning, this is a single moment in time. And this could change your entire life's direction. So in this passage, I want us to look at four things very quickly. And the exclamation that John made about Christ. The first one is that we need to regard God. We need to regard God. The first part of John's exclamation about Christ was he said, "Behold." You know, we choose what we're going to look at. You know, everyone that we come into a relationship with is a choice that we make. And so, what we need to do, but I guarantee you won't make any choices if you don't see anything. And so, he's out there and he says, "Behold, people had the choice of looking, people had the choice of not looking." You know, some people don't look because they said, "It's been too long. We've waited." You know, I'm sure that people have gone out, John's preaching this, and some went away and said, "I don't see it. I don't see it. I hear what you're saying, but I don't get it." Folks, we have to be patient. We have to be in the right place at the right time. You're not going to find God out in places of the world where sin is abounding. He's there. He's watching. But you're not going to have a relationship with Him there. No one's going to proclaim in a bar, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." See, everything we look at or we behold is a choice we make. I'm going to be very simple this morning. Everyone needs to behold Christ. We all need to follow God. We all need to have a relationship with Him. In John chapter 12, verses 20 and 22, Jesus came to the Jews. He came to the nation of Israel. John writes in the same chapter that we just said, he says, "And he came into his own, and his own received him not." But see, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the" what? "World." See, later on in Jesus' ministry, there were Greeks, and they heard about Jesus, and they saw the crowds, and they saw these things, and they wanted to see Him. And in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 22, it says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." See, there were people out there that were just going along with the crowd. They were doing the ritual, but they didn't understand the God behind the ritual. It says, "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" See, you'll never see Jesus unless you're looking for Him. You'll never see Jesus unless you make it a choice that you want to find Him. And see, when people want to find Jesus, they will find Him. They will find Him. You know, Philip did what we should do. "Oh, you want to see Jesus? Well, come back another day. Or go down the street. Or do all this stuff." No. He took personal action and got personally involved. Folks, in order for people to see Jesus, got to get personally involved. It says, "Philip cometh and telleth Andrew." And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus this morning? He's here this morning. Behold the Lamb of God. Everything we look at is a choice, and everyone needs to behold Christ. So we see behold. The next one is we need to regard God, and then we need to recognize who He really is. Not who you think He is, it's who He says He is. It's not what you want Him to do, it's what He wants you to do. It says the Lamb of God. The title that was given by John, he says, "This man who I'm not even worthy to undo his shoelaces." He's the one. He's the one. He's the one sent from God. And then he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God. See, why did he call him the Lamb of God? Because Jesus came to die. Jesus came to be our sacrifice. In John chapter 19, verse 26, it said, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.'" He said, what does that have to do with it? Christ was on the cross at that time. Christ was there. He fulfilled his mission. He became sin for us. He took all of mankind's sin on us because sin requires a blood sacrifice. The Jews knew it because they've been sacrificing for centuries when they sin. But it kind of got like a ritual. Yesterday we were driving around and I saw a bumper sticker. It said, "Sin, then pray." Yeah, sin, then pray. Yeah, we'll do what we want to do, but we'll get right when we want to. See, a lot of people know God because they use Him every day. I use His name every day. But it's not in a religious sense or a worship sense. It's in a condemning sense. And boy, when people get in trouble, that's when they call on God. But the real thing is Christ didn't cause you to get out of trouble. He came on earth to get you out of your sin. So you can be justified before God the Father in heaven. So you have the ability to go to heaven. He is our sacrifice, and on the cross, He says, "Behold your son." You know, hours before, Christ says this. Pilate brings Jesus out in front of the crowd. He says, "Behold the man." He says, "Behold your king." See, he didn't understand who he was showing to the crowd. And the crowd, they didn't want to understand. Because he says, "Behold your king." You know, Christ is the king of the Jews. Christ will be king of all. He is king of kings and lord of lords. He was all man, but he was all God. And see, at that time, the nation rejected him. Because when they were told to behold God in the flesh, behold their king, behold the man, they said, "We have no king but Caesar." And then they said, Pilate asked, "What should we do with him, this one who is called Christ? Let him be crucified." See, Christ is our sacrifice. Christ is our sacrifice. At the cross, you know, one of the Roman centurions said, truly, when he saw all the things that were happening that day, he says, truly, this was the Son of God. But Christ, saying on the cross, tells his mom, "Behold your son. This is why I came." He says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." The sky turned black because God turned his back on his son as Christ became sin for us. And then he said, "It is finished. The sin debt is paid. The Father is satisfied with Christ's perfect sacrifice. And now we all have the ability to go to heaven." See, He is our sacrifice. And I hope that if you don't know Him as your Savior today, you'll get a relationship with Christ. But for those who do know Him, do we behold the Lamb of God in our lives? Are we following him? We know Jesus is our Savior, but he also is our Lord. See, his sacrifice should change the way we live. We started out with talking about single events in time can change the direction of your life. And see, Christ's sacrifice, he didn't cause us to go out. He didn't call us to save us so we go and do our own thing. He called us and saved us so we could serve him. His sacrifice should change the way we live. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven." See, Christ, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and he's using Old Testament illustrations. See, Christ was killed at the Passover. And when you had the Passover feast and you had the Passover holy days, there was supposed to be no leaven in your house. And we know that leaven is a type of sin. And see, God can prepare us and get us forgiveness of sins by taking his sacrifice. But folks, from that point on, we should not have leaven in our lives. We should not have sin in our lives. And the word purge means to totally eliminate. To get all of it out. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Now, some of you think that you're probably a lump today. Okay? But the issue is that we be a new lump that God can use and mold for his purpose. As ye are what? Unleavened. See, Christ took our sins on the cross. It says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So see, the first thing we need to do is we need to be whole. It's a choice you have to make. Then the next thing you need to do is recognize what God has done for you. And if you haven't received Christ, you need to get saved. And if you have received Christ, you need to live as if you are saved. As if you're released from your sin. But none of that can happen unless you receive. See, they recognize as the Lamb of God, and then his purpose is to take away the sins of the world. The fact is that Christ died on the cross for our sins. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God." John writes in the gospel, says, "For God what? So loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We saw Paul write here, Christ our sacrifice, our Passover sacrifice for us. John writes here in the letter to the church, in the letter to believers. He says, "Don't love the world. Know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Understand what God did. Understand what true love is." Later on, he says there is no fear in love in this chapter. He says, "In this was manifested or shown the love of God toward us, because that Christ sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation or a payment for our sins." See, the last thing Christ said on the cross was the word "Tetelestai." And what that meant is that it's finished, it's paid in full. Propitiation just means it's the payment in full for our sins. So see, we need to receive Christ as our Savior because Christ died on the cross for our sins. We need to receive Christ's shed blood because that is the only way for redemption. In Acts it says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Christ said this. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by mean? See, John saw it before any of this stuff started transpiring. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Christ shed blood is the only way for redemption. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." See, you could be rich in the world, but poor towards God. Christ himself said, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but lose his own soul?" Or there's another question, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We've heard that you can't take it with you. So the real question is, do you know Christ as your Savior? "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." See, John the Baptist was an unconventional Levite. He wasn't in the temple. He was going where God sent him to go. He was doing the message that God sent him to preach. He was heeding what God provided him. And people did come to him, but not the crowds. The religious leaders came out to him to see what was this all about. Because John the Baptist was a threat. He was a threat to the religious leaders. He was a threat to the political leaders. Oh, by the way, John the Baptist stood up to the king and said, "You're living in sin." Got him thrust into prison, and then he lost his head over it. See, John knew where Christ was, and he knew who Christ is. It says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or shown in these last times for you." See, the issue here is that God, before he created you, before he created the world, he knew what was going to happen. And he says, "I'm going to solve this sin problem." Adam and Eve created the sin problem. And the sin problem is passed along all of us. But God solved the sin problem in Christ. So we need to understand that Christ died on the cross for our sins. We need to understand that Christ shed blood is the only way for redemption. And then last, we need to understand that Christ's sacrifice must be received to gain eternal life. See, it's one thing to know something. It's one thing to sit there and look at all these events that have been happening recently and say, that's interesting. But when you start taking action, they have an impact on you. See, Christ's sacrifice must be received to gain eternal life. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says this. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It can't be any more clear than that. See, that was the message. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." It's a point in time that will change your life for eternity. For eternity. So we need to regard. We need to recognize. We need to receive. And then this last verse in this passage is we need to remain. See, John got a following. And he says, "There's one coming after me that you need to follow, and I will follow." And we need to remain. The last verse of our passage this morning says, "And the two disciples heard John speak, and they followed Jesus." Amen. See, in order to show people that you are God's disciple, in order to have God make a lasting impact on your life, you have to have full surrender. Give up what you believe in and believe in what God says to believe in. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Paul writes, he says, ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Christ himself said, he says, I must needs be about my Father's business. He says, any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It requires surrender. It requires service. In John chapter 12, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. So there is a condition for serving God. It's following Jesus. It's beholding him. It's recognizing who he is. It's receiving him as your Savior, and then receiving his commandments and live for him. Christ said this. He says, if you love me, keep my what? Keep my commandments. And he basically said to the crowd, he says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you can do that through God's love, you'll satisfy God's will and God's word. And God's law. It requires service. Any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. See, here's the point. We should only go to places where God wants us to go. Sometimes it's not what we think we should do. John the Baptist should have been in the temple. He should have been in the courtyard doing the service of God. Instead, he's out in the wilderness. He's someplace else because that's where God told him. You know, where's the right place to be? Where God tells you to be. All the time. And he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I just don't understand why God's not working in my life. Are you following him? Do you know him? Are you serving him? Do you behold him? Do you recognize who he is? Have you received him? Are you remaining with him? See, that's the point. And the author of this book was one of those two disciples that followed Jesus. As I close this morning, I want to consider two things. See, Christ, John the Baptist, basically said, he's coming. When he saw him, he said, he's here. John the Baptist's message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. We're supposed to be like John the Baptist. We're supposed to be where God is. We're supposed to go where God tells us to. We're supposed to say the things that God tells us to do. You know why? Because he's coming back.
Yes.
There's two other beholds I want us to consider this morning. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds. This is John, the same one that we read earlier. This is John now seeing the end time. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, because they didn't receive him. Even so, amen. And for us, we have a great hope. In the next to last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation 21, verse 5, Christ says this. He says, and he said, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. What God wants to do this morning is to make you new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Then we become his workmanship, created Christ Jesus in good works. At the end of time, as this earth knows it, he's going to make all things new. If you're one that did not receive him, you're going to be wailing. If you're one that did receive him, we should be working now. And we'll see him. And we'll be with him.
Amen.
And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. See, in order to behold God, are you looking for him this morning? Do you understand he's the Lamb of God? Do you need to see your need to receive him as your Savior and receive him as your Lord and then remain in his fellowship and follow him? Because he's coming back and will be in the kingdom of heaven. Behold the Lamb of God this morning. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask for you this time of invitation. Father, I just ask, help us, Lord, to behold you. To want to look for you. To want to follow you. To want to be like you. Lord, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, today I hope that they would realize that need. And when we start singing, Lord, that they would come forward. We would pray with them, Lord, and they can pray for eternal life. Lord, for us as Christians, help us to always behold you. Help us to serve you and follow you with all of our heart. We give you this time of invitation. Father, we want to behold you this morning. Amen.